The third presentation in this panel is given by Dr. Ethan Miller, who will discuss academic research issues.
Well, hopefully not so academic, but we'll see.
But what the first couple of speakers have talked about is how to actually access your data at very high speed. In other words, you know, how to organize it, how to access it at high speed. And a lot of this is predicated on two things. Number one, actually making sure that you have enough capacity. I mean, we saw something like 5 exabytes for a new computer in about 10 years. And you know, capacity is an issue, performance is an issue, as we just heard. But one of the other issues that you haven't heard as much about, perhaps, is how to actually find anything. One way to look at this is that if you have 5 exabytes of data, and your average file size, let's say you get your average file size up to, let's go for a gigabyte. And it's not going to be a gigabyte, but let's say it is a gigabyte. That still means you have 5 billion files. If you're looking at more realistic file sizes, it might be on the order of 10 megabytes. You're looking at 500 billion files. Well, finding anything in 500 billion files is very difficult. And it turns out that the inability to actually find anything is starting to limit the ability of people to use large-scale storage. Sure, we can store all this stuff. We can buy enough disk, buy enough tape, buy enough media, but we can't find anything there. And that's becoming a real serious issue. So the first issue that I want to talk about, and I'm going to pose more questions than I am answers, because I think there's a lot of things that people in this room can do to help out with trying to solve these problems. The first one is that we have to build search mechanisms at scale, and that just means that run on very large collections. Now, whenever I mention this, everyone says, oh, but Google and Yahoo, they search the web. They can do it very quickly. Yes, they can, and it takes them 10,000 computers to do it. Now, if you want to go to the trouble of buying 10,000 computers just to manage your metadata, well, go ahead and use Google and Yahoo, okay? But I think that that's probably not actually going to be a very good solution, because that means that the metadata engine is going to be getting close to the size of the actual computer, probably not the right approach. One of the other problems, and this is something that Google and Yahoo do very poorly, is they don't take advantage of locality. And the example that I like to use for this is that when I go and look for something on Google, I type in keywords, but that's about it. And it looks for everything. Never mind that I might be saying, look, I know the answer I'm looking for is on a SIDAC is on a PDSI website. So again, PDSI is the group that that Garth is the PI of. There are, I believe, eight institutions, Garth, is that correct? So 8 institutions, and I say I'm looking through all the PDSI websites for this data. Google cannot do that query. It just can't. I have to say, well, it's on this site or this site or this site or this site, and hope that I get all the things listed. It's not very good at it. The same sort of thing is true in file systems. As we get larger and larger file systems, people are going to not be able are not going to be working with all 5 exabytes of data simultaneously. They're working with their piece of it, either because it's the piece they're working on right now or some other reason. So we want to be able to build indexes at scale. We want to do it without using as much resources. I'm not saying we can index 5 exabytes on a single laptop. Well, it would be nice, but I don't think that's going to work. But doing it on 10,000 machines isn't going to work either. The second thing we want to be able to do is build things that are less resource intensive. And by the way, one of the reasons that Google and Yahoo are as fast as they are, they store every single index in memory. Now, this is really good if you want to have millions of users like Yahoo and Google do, but if you're talking about an exascale file system, you don't have millions of users. You may have thousands of users, but not millions. You still want to make the response time relatively fast. In order to do this, one of the things we're looking at is leveraging locality. Trying to build indexes that use locality information to try and narrow down where to search. If we can say, look, the stuff you're looking for is in here, maybe we can partition the index up and only look at the parts we care about. That's one of the things we're looking at. And security is another big issue. And I know that people have mentioned security kind of in passing here. Security is helpful for two reasons. First of all, you may not want someone doing a query to be able to get an answer back that says, here's a file that exists, but you can't read it. Because revealing that information is in and of itself information. But a second reason is that it may turn out that if you're looking for information that only I can read, the relevance rankings, the set of documents that are returned may be different than the set of documents that you would return if you had a global view. So if I work on a supercomputer, for example, that has nuclear material simulations, and I'm not allowed to see them, well, then any search for nuclear material stuff might return the few things that I can see, as opposed to saying, well, there's a bunch of stuff you can't see, and those are all the top queries. So incorporating security into indices is actually a pretty important problem that we're trying to figure out an answer to. Again, as I said, problems, not solutions here. The second issue that I think is going to be a very big challenge is how to get metadata to put into the indexes in the first place. Now, provenance, you've heard a little bit about, tracking where this data came from. Where was it, you know, what instruments gathered it? What programs processed it? What was the chain of acquisition, chain of processing that went on? For a couple of reasons. First of all, you want to know why the data looks like it did. Gee, this program over here was enhanced 6 weeks ago. You haven't rerun that data set. Let's rerun it and get the original data back. Hard to do that unless you know where the data has been, right? You may also want to be able to rerun this at a later time. Maybe you can do this with higher fidelity or something else. Again, if you don't know the process that you use to generate each file, you're out of luck. Now, content is another big issue. Again, Google and Yahoo are really, really good at indexing text. And by the way, it's not necessarily just English language. They're good at Chinese, I'm sure. I don't read Chinese, but I've been told this. They're very good at other languages, but if you give them scientific data, images, maybe. Generic scientific data, forget about it. They don't do it. In general, a lot of the scientific data that we're talking about is going to need domain-specific indexes. And it's not just to gather the information. It's going to be to actually make sense of it. Right? If I want to pose the question, show me a fluid flow that has the following characteristics, I have to be able to gather that information and then index and say which one best exemplifies what I'm looking for. That's not trivial. So tracking provenance is a really big concern, and tracking domain-specific metadata is a really big concern. And I haven't even touched on the issue of getting ontologies, you know, how to actually describe domain-specific metadata and getting a good description for it. The HDF talk earlier today actually touched on that a lot more than I could. But that's a really big concern. The next thing we want to be able to do is take this 5 exabytes worth of data and get something useful out of it. This is very, very hard to do because, well, how long does it take you to read 5 exabytes of data? You can't do it. I mean, just forget about it. It's going to take a very long time. When you migrate from one storage form factor to another, we're talking about years. You can't afford to wait years for a data mining query to finish. So indexing the data as you store it is going to be what we're going to have to do. Maybe you can afford to re-index it a little bit later, but even approaches that people use, like shipping the computation out to the data, that's great for a disk-based system where you expect all the disks to be powered on. If you're looking at doing this for your archive, forget it. It's not going to happen. So we have to find good ways of getting the information out when we store it in the archive, because you get one chance, and that's pretty much about it, unless you have a really, really good reason to do otherwise. So these two approaches, indexing the data when it's written to storage and distributing computation, they both work well, but it's not clear that they're going to scale to archives. So we have to be a little bit careful about that. The next challenge, I think, is going to be naming. Hierarchical namespaces turn out to not necessarily work as well as we'd like. The biggest reason for this is that they were designed back in the early 1970s when, you know, you might have a disk pack that was a couple hundred megabytes if you were lucky on a DEC machine. A couple hundred megabytes, maybe a few thousand files. If you had 100,000 files, that was big. Think about a file system that has 500 billion files on it. 500 billion files in a single hierarchy doesn't make sense. Now, certainly people these days use databases, where they just run a database query. The problem is that this doesn't necessarily fit well with the way people like to view files as directories and things under directories. So we want to try and merge flexible naming that preserves a lot of the database-like functionality, but isn't actually a database. By the way, the other reason for not using databases is we actually built a prototype file system that did things like this. This is actually research that was sponsored by the NSF a couple of years ago. Turns out that if you build this using a database, an off-the-shelf database, it's very, very slow. So, again, if you want to make this fast enough, you've got to do something that actually incorporates the relationships between files a little bit better and does so in a way that's fast for 500 billion files, right? One of the things we want to try and avoid doing is something like Spotlight or Google Desktop. Right? That's the other problem here is if you take a hierarchical file system and say, look, you know, files are over there. We'll just do a search over here. What that search returns is a file name, which you then cut and paste. Scientists are, at least I know a lot of people I've talked to, what they use for file names are, let's see, it was run number dash, you know, this file dash that file dash this characteristic. Not a useful file name. I mean, I know it tells you something, but you'd like to be able to have that stuff in there, see it when you need it, don't see it when you don't need it. And right now, the file system simply isn't flexible enough to allow it. We need to make our file systems more flexible. We need to make it so that directories are instantiated when you look at them, not just sitting there on disk statically and every file is in one directory. That's a really big problem. And it's something we have to solve in order to get to the point where we have 500 billion files in one file system. Frankly, the only reason the web scales as well as it does is that the web is not one big file system. It's a bunch of host names, which, by the way, is a big mess, and each individual host name has its own custom file system, and that's about it. So the point here is we need to get better ways of viewing file names. We need to understand how people can specify names better and how they can use them. Now, indexing for exascale storage, as I mentioned before, gets even worse because not only is it a problem to actually run this thing fast enough, but failure starts to become an issue as well. The traditional approach to doing this for archives is to take one big machine, it could be a multiprocessor machine if you want, put the database on it and stick it in front of your multiple tape silos. This is really good until the database gets corrupted. At which point you are in very big trouble because you can't rebuild this until you read the entire archive. 5 exabytes, as I said, you're down for a matter of years until your archive gets reread. This is not going to work, okay? It's also not very scalable. 500 billion records is actually a pretty big database, right? That's actually, you know, much larger than most people actually use for a real database these days. So what we want to try and do, and this is something we're working on right now, is design an approach where we have a distributed index. Instead of saying one big index for the entire system, let's partition it up, one index for each piece of media or one index for each 10 pieces of media. Now, if we find a way of doing that, we can rebuild the index. If it fails on this small piece of media, that's 10 media. We can reread that quickly. Problem, of course, and this, by the way, scales very nicely. If we have one index for every 10 pieces of media and we double the number of media, double the number of subindices. This is great. The drawback is we now have to find ways of efficiently querying this. We can't ask each subindex, do you have this, because that doesn't scale. So the challenge is, how do we build this efficiently? How do we make queries efficient? How do we not ask each one of these things individually in turn? And, again, this is something we're working on right now, but this is a very important question to answer for building scalable indexes here. Okay. Now, just as a way of saying, at the Storage Systems Research Center, I'm a faculty member working with the SSRC. We are actually working on some of these challenges, and by no means all of them, because there are way too many of them here for us to work on, so we need a lot of help from everybody else. But we are doing some work on scalable indexing, on how to actually partition things up and ask queries scalably. We're doing work on view-based file systems and flexible naming. If you were to start from scratch and say, let's build a good way to name files in a file system, what would you do? How would you do it? We're working on that. And again, we're also working on indexing for archival storage, how to partition an index up so that you actually give a small piece of the index to each individual medium, and then allow scalable queries across thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of these individual media. By doing these kinds of things, we hope that we can actually enable people to ask questions and find their data more easily. Because right now, as it stands, I have a very great concern that you're going to have 5 exabytes of data. We will find a way to store it. It's just buying more hardware. But you'll find a way to store it. We'll have 5 exabytes of data and nothing that we can actually do with that data. So with that, Rick, thank you.